I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne. Hello to you. Hope you're feeling well. I'm very excited because this podcast is sponsored by the fabulous F&F Clothing. I love this brand. I love these guys. F&F make clothing for women, which will make you feel gorgeous and won't break the bank. And they have everything from stylish tops to gorgeous denim to sexy swimwear and dazzling daywear. This week, I'm wearing their jeans. Now, they have a brilliant denim collection and they fit my size 18 bottom like a glove, people. Plus, they come in a range of lengths and styles. Honestly, I bought a pair of jeggings from them over a year ago now and I wear them every week. I'm actually wearing them right now as we speak, as you listen. And I'm sure there will be a perfect pair of jeans out there for you at F&F. The great news is that they support the Better Cotton Initiative. Yes, all of the cotton used in their denim is 100% more sustainable BCI cotton. That is very exciting news, people. The BCI exists to make global cotton production better for the people who produce it, better for the environment it grows in, and better for the sector's future by developing better cotton as a sustainable mainstream commodity. Hooray! So what are you waiting for? Grab some new jeans today, people. Go to your local Tesco shop. That's your Tesco Extra, or shop online through next.co.uk and follow F&F Clothing on your social medias. That's at F&F Clothing to see their latest looks. Okay, it's time for the podcast to begin. Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne, comedian, writer, one half of the Scummy Mummies. I wear a lot of gold cat suits and I love it. Now today I'm very excited because do you know what, listener? I don't have one guest. I have two guests. Welcome to the house, Gemma and Billy. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome in the Fat House. Woohoo.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Okay. Now Gemma and Billy are married, and I thought it's going to be really interesting currently. At time of recording.
Yes.
They were legally married. But I thought it would be really interesting to invite a couple onto the show because, I mean, most of the time, couples, I mean, your partner is who sees your body most, who you spend the most time with most of the time. Who sometimes says the right thing, sometimes doesn't about our body and sometimes can sway how we feel about, you know, how we feel about ourselves and what we do with it. And do you know what, listener? Gemma is a PT. She knows all about bodies. And Billy does other things.
I have a body too.
So could you please, look, let's start with Billy because I have waffled on a bit about Gemma. Look, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hello.
Hello. It's all right.
I'm Billy. I'm a dad and I work in advertising and I'm on Instagram with Dad Outside the Lines, who created prints. I try to be funny and natural and...
I hate unnatural men. Ugh. Oh, yuck.
So glad you're natural. Very unnatural now.
How long have you been in the dad blogging sphere?
Since I started, really. When I started doing the prints, then there was obviously a lot of women who buy more stuff for the house, maybe, and were on Instagram more. Noticeably, and then men and the dads come up and
they wanted a piece of the pie.
Yeah, so can you explain in a nutshell? So it's called Go Outside the Lines.
Yes, so we create prints for typographical prints that kids can colour in using sayings,
such or as word art.
As word well. Art.
Yes, yes, that you like to colour in.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the kid can create it and put it on their wall in their bedroom and be proud of it.
Yeah. Great. Excellent. And Gemma. Gemma is from Gemma's Health Hub.
I am, yes.
And you're a PTE.
I am, yes. I retrained later in life to become one. I hadn't always been a PT. I'd worked in advertising. That's where we met before having kids. And then I had a total career overhaul. Started doing PT work, then set up an Instagram and kind of tried to talk about it in a more accessible way, and now I kind of host an online community of women and we all work out together.
But and this is in the mornings, is that
this
right?
Is in the mornings,
so you
yeah.
do it, is it Facebook Live?
It's Facebook Live at 6:30 Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And yeah, everyone.
Why
just
aren't
like,
I doing this,
well,
Gemma?
That's what I'm going to say. You're on it now. I'm inviting you in.
I'm in. I'm absolutely
and
in.
And I see everyone's names pop up on the side and I like welcome everyone personally so you know that you're in the class, even wow. though you're like in Scotland or someone's in Germany, like it's all remote. However, yeah, everyone feels like a community. So it's everyone's kind of accountable. That's the main thing with it. Mm.
I'm not going to use his name, but you know that cheeky chappy.
Yeah, the
you
cheeky do chappy.
That guy, let's call him Wojix.
let's call him curly haired god man.
So you do sort of a live Joe Wicks from your house.
Yeah. So I was going to people's houses individually and training for an hour that were local to me, and I kind of thought, how can I not get to more people? As if I need to get to more people, but I just was getting messages about doing training online, and I think one of the reasons people were not sort of following through training was like not having the accountability at home. So what the hub does is it creates that, and people put up a picture afterwards called their sweaty selfie, and it's all unfiltered, and the kids and the washing in the background.
I love selfies with washing in the background.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
my favourite thing.
And then everyone just goes, yeah, well done, you did it. And it's like then we get on with our day, and by 7 a.m. you've done half hour workout, feeling all smug and done.
I think the other thing about it is that people can't get the time. They find in the time to exercise and not feel guilty about leaving your children or leaving your husband when you've only seen him for half hour. And
I skip out the door.
I'm sorry, I just cannot relate to that. Yeah.
Guilt?
No, I don't get to see him.
Oh, right, maybe that's just in my head.
Yeah, we welcome all opinions.
So it was for mainly mums to get the exercise done.
Yeah,
out the way.
Absolutely, the biggest results or the best results I've ever got was getting a PT.
Yes.
And I know, but the thing is, it's not accessible. Actually, it's financial. I did it after I turned 40 because I got some birthday money, and I was like, do you know what? I've got shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got things. What? How do I want to sort of invest in my money? And I thought I could fall over and wreck my ankle, and then I'd spend the same amount on getting physio to fix myself.
Yes.
Let's put some money into preventing. Yeah, exactly. And I loved having a PT because it was that every Monday morning at 9:15 I'd drop the kids off and I'd do it. And my PT selfishly moved.
Oh, no.
So I've got to find a new PT. But
we could do it remotely, Helen.
Yes, let's do that.
Do a loving on the live.
Absolutely. But anyway, look, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Sorry,
we painted a lovely picture, and it was really nice that you brought up advertising because I think we might go back to that later because advertisers
damn you
have a lot to account for about, you know, advertising about body imaging and how we view ourselves and what is valued in the advertising world in terms of body shape. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'll get back to slagging off your profession, but let's drill down a bit. Let's talk about our own bodies because that's what the podcast is all about. Let's start with you, Billy. How do you feel about your body right now? Where are you at in your body journey? Let's go there.
I have a love-hate relationship with my body.
Yeah.
I'm quite slim, luckily, and don't put on a lot of weight. But I've noticed recently that it's all gone, as probably with many men, straight to the gut.
Yeah.
And women, probably. And
depends if you're an apple or a pear.
Well, yes, it does.
Yes. Genetics, body shape.
So I'm lucky enough to be slim and kind of tall, but then it just seems to be going straight to the gut area, which I dislike. And even though probably no one else noticed it, in my head, it's there still.
I know, because I think, and this is a gross generalisation, I think as women we kind of think that men don't feel the same kind of pressure as women, and that, you know, when you hit your 40s or, you know, after you've had kids as a dad, they're like, oh, they don't care, you know, they don't kind of carry that kind of anxiety about how you look. But how would you describe it? And do you talk to about it with your mates? Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, I think there is a chat, a more honest chat that's happening now about how we look, and advertising is making the gender of the man do more for himself, be it moisturising more or putting different hair.
Self-love.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shampoo. You know, gone are the days where you used to go out the night before and then you come rushing down the stairs with your tie hanging out and you grab a piece of toast and just leave the door. You know, men are getting up and showering and moisturising and, yeah, having a routine around it. And
I did catch my husband putting on a bit of night oil the other day.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it's quite arousing, actually. I'm not going to mention where he put it. He's put a bit of rosehip oil on his face of late. And I think, yeah, there is an awareness now, which
whether he'd go around and talk to his friends that he'd done that the night before.
Oh my God, I've got an eye cream to die for. No, I don't think he's that type of bloke. But yeah, it's interesting how that's shifting. And also, do you find being on Instagram and social media is, you know, images of perfect bodies, and we've got like Love Island and things like that. Does that sort of
definitely
play on how you feel yourself?
Yeah, it does. Just that people are looking at you more or looking at your gender more is. Makes you question what you do on a daily basis, what the clothes you wear, the way you do your hair. Hair is a big issue as well for men, I think. Receding hairlines and baldness. I kind of have gone through, I think, I'm hoping it's stopped, but it's a big fear factor, I think, for men, because that is one, you can't control it at all.
Yeah.
You can control your weight in certain aspects, all about how you eat or stop drinking beer, maybe, but your hair...
Never. I mean...
That's why it's still there. but your hair, you can't control it. And it's hereditary.
We haven't talked about this on the podcast before. We've all talked about hair in other places and about women liking being bald in other areas. but yes,
so we seem to kind of baldness.
But you know, like things. But even like I've talked to, you know, dad friends, and things like your nose hair starts growing. And my friends, I won't mention names, but my friend's husband received nose hair clippers for Christmas.
Yeah. Sexy.
So all those sort of things that you kind of, you get a bit of a shock going into our sort of 40s and 50s about things sagging and hair growing everywhere and disappearing.
Yeah, for men it goes from the head and grows everywhere else, it seems.
Yeah, just grows, keeps growing up and then
and
going...
just stops at the face or the nose.
Oh, dear. Now, crossing over the table here. So, Gemma, you obviously, you're sort of, your body is your job. Really?
It is, yeah.
And when did you become a PT?
So after I had Jude, who's coming up to be 8 next month, I experienced quite like low periods and like a low time, and which I would look back and probably say it was a postnatal depression, but I didn't really talk a lot about it. I just felt in a hole at the time. Mm. And I started to use running, I think it was at the time. I'd never really ran a lot before, so I started to kind of use running and exercise as a way to lift me up a little bit, and noticed the power of it, I suppose, and thought, I really like, am I happy in my career? Will I be able to go back to it full time? Started assessing my options, and then thought, right, I'm going to retrain to work. So I sort of retrained with the YMCA. Evenings and weekends, like
everyone's singing that song in their head now, you realize.
So it's a lot of dancing involved.
Excellent.
Yeah, a lot of I remember, like, it was out in like near Brighton, so the weekends I'd have Jude, and he was like one, or I think it was like one at the time. I was like, right, I'm going to do my training, and everyone was like, but are you going to work as a, it was sort of an alien concept for me to decide to retrain in exercise. So my body, it's taken me like 37 years to treat it, I suppose, with compassion and kindness. And I think a lot of that has come from Instagram. And even though for all its sins, it's taught me to follow people that are positive, and the body positivity movement, and however we want to call it, is just amazing. Like the people that are that I follow, and I make sure that I do follow people that inspire me, are just, they just make you feel good. And like, it does not matter what size you are, you can use your body. And if you're able to use your body, just use it. Like, it's a privilege. And I think that's the main thing I've learned, that it's not a chore to do exercise. It's like a, it's a privilege.
It's giving yourself a present.
Totally.
And we can all find excuses not to do it.
Yes, exactly.
I think 100 different excuses. I've spent longer doing a shit watching Instagram when I could have just walked around the block and felt
like. Or you look at the time spent on Instagram some days, or like time your friend,
I do not want to know.
5 hours down the drain. And then you realise you could have done even just half an hour. Like, don't underestimate the power. In my 20s, it was always like, it's a chore, or it's a punishment, or it's a leading up to holiday, go to all the spinning classes you can, make sure you're looking good. And it was always around the aesthetic. It was never around, like, it was calorie counting, over-exercising, and how I looked. That was how I packaged up my kind of approach to exercise. And it does take a long time to change that mindset.
Yeah.
But now my mindset's totally different. Like, I'm not like completely ripped, I don't focus on like, right, I need to sort my abs out, or like my arms and things like that. I don't focus on the aesthetic of it. I just focus on like how it makes me feel.
Mm.
And yeah, it takes a while, but I feel like I'm there in a way, and you have to like work on it a lot, but yeah.
So if there are listeners out there who are thinking about, you know, they've been inactive for a while, because we do all get lulls, and we don't. And I always find I need to either book a run in, like I did a 10K recently, or book in a PT, like that accountability. Apart from your amazing health hub, what are some of the first steps? Because I think one of the problems, and we've talked about a lot on the podcast, is that people set really high goals.
Oh, yeah.
They'll start off for 2 weeks really keen, and then they'll just like go, I'm a failure, fuck this shit, and it's too hard. So what is sort of the first sort of...
Excuse after excuse. Like, oh, I can't really do it
today. Can't do it today, too busy. And if it gets past the point of like no return in the evening, it's like, right, it's done, like, I'm not doing it today.
Yeah.
So I think
bring in the rosé.
Exactly. Yeah. It's such a hard thing. The best thing is to, I have learned personally, is to start small.
Mm.
Say you haven't exercised for ages. Even if you like, so I do this thing called Got 5 Live in the morning. It's just 5 minutes of moves on Instagram, and it's 5 moves, a couple of cardio moves, a core move, and an arm move. And it's 5 minutes, and it changes your kind of mindset. And if you do that, you think, right, maybe I can do 10 minutes, maybe I can do 15 minutes. It's building it up, not seeing it as a massive chore, just starting really tiny. But also, and I think starting a program that's like 6 weeks, 12 weeks, or starting something that has an end goal, like you just said, is sometimes the worst thing, because if you do get to that end goal, great, fantastic. But what do you do then? Like, what's the end? Like, you've got to your weight that you want, or you finished your 12-week program and you look ripped. Like, but what do you do then? Like, what's the maintenance? How do you get?
Yeah.
I kind of think you've got to see exercise as like cultivating a habit, or that just is in your life. Like, there's no end.
Yeah.
And that is a really hard thing to change your mindset on, because that's what we're sold, isn't it? Programs, juice diets, weekly things.
Just a 30-day like, plan, yes, or a 28-day plan.
Isn't it? It's like, but it just should be like in your life.
Mm.
And even if it's in your life for 5 minutes a day, and then it slowly becomes 10 minutes, or you can...
Because one of the things, how I discovered you was through the cards.
Oh, the cards,
Yeah, so they were great. So Gemma produced these sort of cards, which was like, you know, do 5 squats or, or whatever.
Yeah, scatter them. While you're watching TV, give them 20.
Yeah, they push-ups. Were like, basically what I used to do was put post-it notes around the house after, I think it was after Buddy, and I was like, right, I feel stiff, I feel a bit low again, I need to get myself moving, and remind myself, like, I get out of bed and I do 25 star jumps straight away. It sounds silly now. Like, I mean, I sound like a div, but I honestly...
Were you there when she was doing
it? Yeah, I was doing 25 push-ups.
Yeah. So, but even...
High-fiving each other in between.
Yeah, we sort of
We're
like,
the best, yeah. Let us go to work.
You're the best.
It was, I'd do it through tears some days.
Definitely still in bed.
Yeah. Or like you boil the kettle. I know it's like, it sounds like a cliche now, but I would literally boil the kettle and... not stop moving while I was boiling the kettle just to get the blood flow going, oxygen around the body. And even that just changed my state of mind really, really quickly.
Mm.
So, yeah, I would say start small, like any little tiny bit thing you can do, and don't overthink it.
Yeah.
I think it's important, the routine thing that you talked about. It's like having a shower or you know.
Yeah.
When you get up, if you do for your 5 minutes, and you when it becomes a routine, you don't think of it as... Oh, I'm exercising for that. Mm-hmm. You just think, all right, it's done now. Now I'm having a shower. Now I'm doing breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Before we wrap up and we're going to do some quick fire questions, I just wanted to talk, Jem, again, about the negative voices that we have in our heads about our bodies. And, and I guess because you work so intimately with women, what are the biggest sort of hurdles or barriers do you think people have to getting back into exercise and all revaluing your own body?
So a phrase that I kept hearing a lot was like, oh, I'm not really an exercise person.
Mm.
And I was like, what is an exercise person? Like, let's look at that phrase. Like, you don't have to be an exercise person. Don't put yourself in brackets. And I think a lot of women focus on one particular part of their body that they don't like. And they'll be like, how do I change my stomach? How do I change the back of my arms? I really don't like this part of my body. Can you give me exercises for this part of my body? I want to change this. And it was always kind of, how can I change this, this particular thing that is like on my mind all the time? And I was like, right, let's just take that away. First of all, you can't really spot train, is what you call it, a part of the body. You have to kind of go for the all over body approach. Anyway, and it's so individual. Like, if I gave an exercise to you and someone else, you could both do them exactly the same, and your bodies may change or that they would react differently. It's just you can't give. It's not a one size fits all. So I always say, don't think about that particular thing that you hate. So, like, let's say for instance, it is. I don't know, a lot of people like to say a lot about the back of their arms, the triceps, I hate this word.
I can't see them, so I don't worry about them.
People are like, oh, I want to get rid of my bingo wings, and I hate that. And I'm like, oh,
just wear a long sleeve,
put a long sleeve t-shirt on, you'll be fine. Yeah. But I'm like, just don't worry about that part, just enjoy the exercise. Don't, when we're in the hub, I don't ask people to talk about weight, I don't really cultivate a culture of... end goal. I always say, look, if you want to look at transformation of your own body, do some measurements because they're always a good indicator.
Yeah.
Don't weigh yourself. Do measurements or take some pictures or do it via like a kind of strength thing. So if at the beginning you start off in the hub and you can only do like 2 push-ups on your knees, a month later, how many can you do? Just write down a little small progressions and those will make you feel good and focus on the progressions that you're making rather than... It's like changing the narrative in your mind about how you talk about your body. It's like, oh God, I feel like I hate my body, so I'm not going to bother exercising. Just love it, nurture it, start small, and don't use weight as an indicator. I think that's one of the biggest things, I think. Like, going on the scales is just not helpful.
No.
I honestly don't think.
And also your weight changes. You can have like 2 litres of water or something and
you're going to weigh... Mine used to fluctuate, I'm sure, by like 6 or 7 pounds like in a day.
Yeah.
Like, I'd get up and be like, oh yeah, that's great, when I was kind of weighing myself and thinking, like, measuring my success.
Before breakfast. I would
measure my success via my weight, and it was really sad because I'd be like, that would determine my mood for the day. I'd be like, oh, I feel happy now because I'm wearing this. But yeah.
The other thing I don't think is to don't overthink it. I think we can easily, you, Gemma, bangs on about overthinking exercise. Well, not bangs on about it. But,
I do.
But if you overthink it.
In a good way.
You can, your mind will go, oh, actually, well, you know, I've got to get in. I've got to do that. I've got to then do this. I've got to do that.
Yeah.
If you think too much or you just get it done, then you...
think more about it than you're actually doing it.
Yeah. That plays with your head. And
the same with diet, I think. I think any time I've been on any kind of diet, it just takes over everything I think about that. Oh, totally. God, what am I having?
The food shop changes.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. And I know you need to make healthier choices, and I get it, but I hate feeling like that's the only thing that...
Restricted as well.
Yeah, exactly right.
If you don't want to think, like, I'm going out tomorrow night, can I have that wine? Or do I count that as all the kind of counting-based diet things? Like, they kind of change your attitude towards food. Then it takes a really long time to change that back.
Mm.
And, you know, seeing things as numbers or good and bad. And there's a lot actually now about intuitive eating, which is great. And I think that all this kind of shift is amazing, and I hope it's going on outside of Instagram as well, because I kind of, it
we're in the
bad,
echo
I live
chamber.
In Instagram,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Like, this is great, there's loads of body positivity, there's loads of stuff about intuitive eating, things like that. However, I just step outside and sometimes people don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I just want that to spread.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting in the mainstream sort of advertising, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you're in your Instagram, you're in your curated magazine,
yes.
Basically, and then you pick up a magazine, you're like, they're all thin,
oh,
and they're all pretty much like skin coloured women.
Yes,
they're all, and you know, and all the blokes seem to have no hair on their body.
Oh my god,
at
yeah.
all.
No,
apart from
that's
light
we all look.
Yeah. So yeah,
it does need to filter out a bit more. Totally.
Yeah, and are you seeing in the advertising industry like a how Instagram's reflecting back into what?
Yes, yeah. Well,
what's expected.
The biggest thing is from what's happened with Nike, I suppose.
Yeah,
And putting models in. Different size models in store.
Yeah.
I think that's had a
it's
big...
a really positive, such a positive move. Because I think we were saying, like, the option to buy larger leggings just wasn't there. If you want to go for a run and you're, you know, potentially like, wear a size 20 legging, you can't find them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Have you got any advice for both of you? Because you're both, prominent on the gram, but also with your advertising background and things like that. What advice do you give to people sort of starting off on their body journeys?
As in, like, if they want to start, like, exercise or
yes,
something like
exactly.
that. Yeah, just take it slow. Like, just don't give yourself unrealistic. Don't look at something on Instagram that is totally not you. Like, I used to follow a kind of, and no disrespect to them, they look amazing, like 21-year-old fitness models. And I was like, wow, they look amazing. Why don't I look like that? Don't compare yourself to somebody that is just not you. Like, it's not what you're going to look like. And give yourself kind of, it's just, comparison is not good.
No.
I think for me, it's to kind of maintain it and even it out. I like going for a beer and I like eating. I don't want to stop that.
Yeah. But joy of choice.
Yeah, but if I exercise 2 times a week, I just maintain that level of okayness.
Yeah.
And I think that I'll just plod along on the okay level for
that's
the dream.
That's it, yeah. Being okay is great.
And the other thing is endorphins. That,
yeah.
You know, what they, after you do that run, after you do a walk, after you go and play football or go down the gym or go for a swim, when you come back, the endorphins, they take hold and they are, there's nothing like them.
They are.
It's a free drug that.
The best thing. And that was what I found after I had like Jude and I felt really low. It was literally like, I'm remembering that feeling feels nice. Like, remember how you feel afterwards. And that always kind of like pushes you to do it again and again. Like, try it and like bottle that feeling.
Sell it for thousands of pounds.
Advertise it. Make sure you make loads of money.
Talk to me.
So now I'm selling Gemma's Health Hub endorphins.
Yes, excellent. Little pills. Happy pills. Yeah. That's excellent advice. Now we're going to go quickly into the quick fire questions. Right. What makes you feel sexy, Gemma?
Wearing makeup, because I have a weird relationship with my skin. So I've had adult acne. So putting makeup on makes me feel sexier.
Yeah. Great.
Weird, but yeah.
No. And we haven't talked about adult acne before. It's a thing. It's such a thing.
It can
make you cry.
I've suffered terribly with it. At the moment, it's really calm and it's amazing. But I've last year I had boils all over my face.
Oh,
and it was awful. Yeah, and I've like suffered with it since I was in my teens, and it will come and go, and I've had it all the
I've had Roaccutane.
I was on antibiotics for nearly 7 or 8 months because the doctor just kept giving them to me. And then I've like paid hundreds and hundreds for like pots of cream and things over the years. But it is, to me, that's another thing I'm learning. What brings it on, I think, is sometimes food, sometimes stress.
It's hormonal.
Yeah, but it's just hideous.
And I'm sure there's lots
of
listeners out there. I had full like body acne as a teenager. There'd be days I wouldn't leave the house.
Yes, I've sent people to like pick up the kids because I can't face doing the school run.
Yeah.
Like last year, I remember I was like, please go and get the kids, because I had a boil on the side of my head that was coming out like inches, and I was like, I cannot go. But adult acne has been a thing. So the thing that makes me feel kind of confident, I suppose, slash sexy, is putting makeup on and feeling confident in my face.
Yeah.
And that's like a big thing for me.
Yeah. No, and I'm sure everyone can identify with that because, it just feels, that's...
It's your face, isn't it? And you're like, it's how you... Even
you can
though
put
no
clothes
one else
on
could
and you
see,
can,
you're like, it's how you present to the world. And if you're feeling, I mean, there's some pictures that I put up. I did like...
Yeah, I remember
Instagram
last year.
And things like that. And it was like, the people that came to me, like, wow, I didn't realise, like, because I cover it up all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's got it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Thank you for sharing that.
That is that.
Billy?
Oh, yeah, straight links.
What makes you feel sexy? Seamless.
A boil on your face to what makes me feel sexy. For me, just being natural and comfortable.
Yeah.
After I've had a haircut, a shower, and I'm dressed in a comfortable, and I'm going out for a few drinks.
That's when you feel your sexiest.
That's when
you're going out with your boys.
Top, top notch. Here I come,
man. Here I come. Sexy.
And then we're done by 10.
He's actually got a t-shirt on that says lit on it.
Oh.
That's how sexy he feels today.
He put his nice things on for me. It's very nice. Okay. Let's go back to Billy, actually. What's your most favourite thing to put in your body?
Chocolate.
Good-o. Excellent. Any particular?
I am obsessed. I've got such a sugar tooth.
Ridiculous.
And I will...
Do you hide it in the house?
I can't have it in the house.
I can't have it. If it's in the house, it will go after dinner or not when I get up. No, that's wrong. But I will eat chocolate until it's all gone and I'm in a happy slumber.
Are you the same, Jen?
No, I do not like milk chocolate, really. It's too sugary for me. I'll have a bit of dark chocolate. The thing... I'm obsessed with Marks and Spencer's chive flavoured crisps. Sour cream and chive.
Yum.
It's weird. But every time I go past Marks and Spencer's, they come in like quite a big bag that's obviously not just one portion.
Yeah.
It's probably about 6 or 7 portions. But I will just
smash that's the share
the whole
your grab bag,
bag,
your share bag.
Oh yeah, it's like share, like massive party bag. But they're like crinkly cut. I don't know if anyone else is obsessed with these, but it's like I can't go.
Yeah. Not just any crinkle cut.
Yeah, they're literally.
I don't really go for things like that.
I like
a cheesy poof though.
Oh,
you know, the little cheese doodles
little
or whatever.
Cheese
M&S do.
They're so light, aren't they?
Oh, melt in your mouth, Billy.
Melt in your mouth.
Oh.
But lovely. Yeah, we were going to do a rude one for that, but we just said crisps and chocolate, so yeah, that we put inside our bodies.
I know. Sometimes I said, oh, what's your most favourite thing to put in your body? And my previous guest said, my boyfriend. So
you, Billy, all... you.
Sorry. Exactly right. Sorry. Now, what's your most embarrassing body moment, gang?
Oh, I was thinking about this, right? So... it's not, it's to do with like all my embarrassing body moments are to do with alcohol when I've been drunk.
Yeah,
so
that'll do it.
Yeah, oh, I don't know, like very early 20s. I was very young, okay. I was out with work drinks. I don't know if to say this, I'll just say it. Yeah, so I was out for work drinks and we were in London.
They can't fire you.
They're no, they can't. I'm not going to say the work or the right. But yeah, anyway, so we were like, I was obviously completely hammered and the girl was like, oh, stay at mine, you know, don't worry about going all the way back home. So I was like, oh, okay. She was like, I've got a single bed with top and tail. And I was like, okay, fine. Don't worry, this is not going anywhere.
I like it so far.
Anyway, so I was top and tailing with this girl.
Don't tell me about this. This is so good.
So obviously passed out, drunk, woke up in a bit of an accident, shall we say, situation. I'd basically like wet myself in the night in a single bed with someone I didn't really know that well. I had to wake her up and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I've like pissed in your bed. And then she leapt out and was like, oh, I know. There was no.
A different kind of wet patch.
There was a different kind of wet patch. But yeah, so basically I wet a stranger's bed and had to wake them up by telling them.
Oh my God, and, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was like ages ago. Sorry if.
That lady. That,
do you remember who she is?
I'm not going to tell you.
Absolutely no way. I must say that's one of the best stories I've ever heard. Yeah. Thank you, Gemma.
So yeah, hidden talent.
Now,
so.
Billy, top that. Whose bed have you pissed in?
Yeah. Oh, plenty. actually, I've got one from our wedding night.
Oh God, yeah.
So
actually,
we were. We had a wedding, beautiful wedding. But we got kind of drunk. I think everyone.
We were absolutely smashed, yeah. Billy. We didn't Come get on. Kind of drunk.
Kind of.
Anyway,
kind
we went of. Back to our. We just went back to our room, went to sleep. But our room was had a door which
adjoining door
to where two bridesmaids were.
Oh no! Oh God!
Yeah.
And I got up. I got up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet.
Completely naked,
and thought the bathroom door was the bathroom. And I went through it, and it was their room. But I didn't see them in there, and I was searching around in the dark. And one of her bridesmaids, best friend, I was kind of patting her naked. And she woke up and she went, Billy, what are you doing? This is not the toilet. And I just turned around and then and ran off to the toilet.
Yeah, with your bum swaying in the wind. You were. Yeah, I forgot about that one, actually.
Oh, that is so funny.
That was a good one.
That's excellent. You guys and your late night antics.
Sorry, yeah. We just like to wee in strange places.
You know better now. Fat facts. Did you know that fitness builds relationships? So if you exercise with your partner, in any way you like, mm-hmm. It actually strengthens your relationship. Would
Those
you say
that
that's true?
Those that run together stay together.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that's true, yeah. I think like before we got married, we started doing runs together, didn't we? And like it formed
when you were
a
courting.
Good bond when yes. we were courting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's... Just because you're happier afterwards, right?
I think we try to. If we've got the kids have got a babysitter or we've got someone around that we try to use that time to do something together, whether it be a run or go for a swim or something like that. I think it's important. Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it anyway, so.
Might as well bring you along.
Mm. Yeah. My husband and I shared a PT.
Oh, good.
And when he had a bit of a break, he'd worked like 3 months when he was freelancing.
Yeah.
And we just decided, oh, well, why don't we do that every Monday? Just go. Yeah.
That's nice.
It was like a Pilates PT kind of person.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the nicest things we've done together.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's not like kind of going to the pub and then you wake up and you feel a bit groggy and rubbish the next day. Like after exercise, you just feel that. feel so good.
Yeah.
I feel loving.
I know, and there's a nice encouragement. It's sort of, yes. Yeah, and you know where you're sort of, yeah. So that's a nice fact, yeah. isn't it?
It is a good
and
fact.
Apparently an eighth of adults aren't active at all.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Believe that. Yeah,
move it.
It's a shame. Like,
yeah.
It is just seen as like a chore, isn't it? So people, you know, just don't bother.
Yeah. Move it, move
it. Move it.
All right. And then finally, I thought this was, I don't know if it's true or not. I got it from WebMD.
Oh,
it
yes.
said sounds that, legit.
I mean, apparently music improves workouts by 15%.
Oh,
I would say that'd be 50%. Like if I don't have any music playing or if I'm going for a little jog around the park, if get my favourite tunes on,
I
definitely boost my sort of...
I don't, if I run, I...
Do you not have music on?
No, I usually don't listen to someone talking because... Like a podcast or something like that, because it takes my mind away completely. If I'm listening to music, I can zone out quite easily.
Oh,
and
then
I just think, oh, I hate this running. I hate this running. Whereas if I'm listening to someone else talking, that's how I do it.
You can listen to yourself next time now. If this comes out.
That's it.
Like, run to your own
to your
podcast.
Own butt story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
The Hall of Fat Fame.
So... anybody like sort of celebrity or like online?
Some people have said people like Adele. Some people have said Dawn French. Other people have said their sister, who have inspired them.
Oh God, yeah, I would definitely say those two. Like I was trying to think about it on the way, but because I've always been when I was younger, I was like into comedy and like I would, well, I don't know, I was like I did like a little. Stand-up course when I was younger and I was into comedy, like I'm not very good at it, but I was really into like watched lots of comedy. So who I really admired when I was a lot younger when she first came out was Jo Brand, and obviously she was female, she was bigger and she was in the comedy scene, so it was like she was loads of things that you weren't meant to be in terms of like that going back to like mid-90s when she was like, and I was a teenager and I was like, oh, she's cool, like,
and she
I really looked up to her
and
definitely
brave and funny and
totally
took no shit, like it was really, I remember being really inspired. I've read both, she's got two autobiographies and I just like ate up every word she said. I just thought she was
absolutely she's
and
just pioneering.
She took so much crap, like she Ellie's dad, the other scummy mummy, he used to gig with her.
Did he?
Because he
oh
was
my
a stand-up.
God. Yeah.
And he said, you know, she was so brilliant and dealt with all the hecklers and it was not an
it
easy
wasn't
ride.
It wasn't a time that it was like that you were a female on a stage and looking a certain, not looking anything from, you know, you weren't there for people's sort of viewing pleasure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was there doing her thing, doing her
she
comedy, looking amazing, confident. So, yeah, I would say like she's... should be there. Did it, has anyone else said her?
No, they have not.
Yeah.
Go, Jo Brand. Excellent. And Billy?
Mine is Gemma. No.
Leave it.
Her in my personal life of what she's achieved and how she helps out women to start fitness or to maintain fitness, I think... should be rewarded.
You're going to give me a prize.
Yes.
Give me something else.
And another, Eddie Izzard's, bringing it back to comedian and fitness, the way he runs all those marathons.
He did that 27 marathons.
Oh,
how
insane.
Does he do it? Like, that
insane.
Is mentally fit,
mind over
isn't
matter
it? Yeah.
somehow, like, amazing.
I know, because people talk about did the marathon and then like weeks to recover, not wake up and do it again tomorrow.
I don't know how he done it.
You must have to eat like 10,000 calories just to kind of maintain, just to be alive.
I think like it was very, like his toenails and things were coming off.
Everything must be falling
awful,
apart.
But yeah, it was.
Not to mention the chafe.
The chafe. But yeah, no, he's amazing.
Fatspiration. And finally, we end with Fatspiration. So this is your mantra or words that inspire you that you'd like to share with the world.
Share. Well, we've already said this one, but it is do not like overthink exercise, because you'll spend more time thinking about it than you will doing it.
Mm.
Half an hour's not long. You can squeeze it in. Like, don't overthink exercise.
Yeah.
Just get your gear on. Get it done.
Good.
I agree with that. Can I have that as well?
Yeah, you can.
Thanks.
Right. Something new and inspirational, Billy.
All right. You can use one of your own quotes from your art.
No, I'll come up with one and then
okay, right. All right.
We'll come back to you on that one.
Okay, excellent. Well, we must end the podcast at Gemma, Billy. Thank you so much
for
being
thank
such
you
brilliant guests.
Thank you
for sharing.
Us. It's been amazing.
One of the most, well, two of the most hilarious stories we've ever had on the show. So
see,
thank you
there
very
you go.
Much.
You weren't expecting that.
Was not expecting that at all. You've been listening to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It has been sponsored by the brilliant FNF Clothing. We love you guys. Do go to FNF Clothing on Instagram and next.co.uk to buy the clothes. I love them. They're size 6 to 22 for women, and I love all their stuff. Of course, it's me, Helen Thorne. I've been the host, and the producer was Emma Corsham, and the music is by John Thorne. Please rate, review, and subscribe, and tell all your friends. Okay, yes. You've been a lovely audience. Thank you guys for being
thank
in the pod house.
You.
Anyway,
you.
Until next time, everyone. Bye.
Bye. See you later.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, UnitedHealthcare insurance plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare insurance plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.